Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about successful living. Our society is achievement-oriented. We think that to be successful, we must achieve. A lot of us have a feeling that we should be doing something meaningful 24 hours a day. And if we don't, we're wasting our time. Very few achievement-oriented people are really happy. They often set standards too high that they continually think they're failures, no matter how much they have accomplished. I had a wonderful lady organist on one of my chapels in Selfridge Air Force Base in Michigan, and she was almost as good as our organist, Tracy Marino, but she was 72 years old, and she became very ill with cancer, and I used to go to the hospital and visit her. She told me one time, as a girl, she practiced and prepared for a piano concert for months. The day came, and the concert arrived. She played a very difficult number flawlessly. She was so happy. She was overflowing with joy. She went to her mother, and her mother looked at her, and she said, "Well, you could have done better." It crushed her. And there in the hospital, 72 years of age, there were tears rolling down her cheeks as she sobbed, "If only my mother had said, I'm proud of you. It was wonderful, but I never could please my mother." All her life, she continually tried to please her mother. Often in life, achievement-oriented people feel that they never measure up because of some childhood calamity. Rejection by a parent or a friend or other people give them a guilt complex. They begin thinking that they don't deserve to be happy. I want to stop right here and say, no matter what your problem is in life, pray and ask God to help you. And keep praying. Don't stop, but just keep praying and don't give up. And God will help you. Do you think Jesus was a happy person? Do you think his disciples were happy people? In our scripture this morning in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, 11th verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus was a happy person. How do we know this? Who followed Jesus? Throngs of people followed Jesus. Would they have followed a bitter, negative, complaining, pessimistic person? I doubt it. I haven't seen any leaders that were willingly followed that were pessimists. Jesus brought happiness to all the people that followed him. Think about the Apostle Paul. Although he went through a rougher life than any of us can think of, he was a happy person. He said in Philippians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, "I have learned to be content, whatever circumstances I may be in. I know how to live when things are difficult. I know how to live when things are prosperous. I have learned the secret of facing either plenty or poverty. For I am ready for anything through the strength of Jesus Christ who lives in me." Jesus and Paul and the disciples were happy, successful leaders because they had the complete faith in God. They knew God would take care of them, no matter what their circumstance in life. Successful living is reflected in happy, contented people because they know God is there for them. They're not uptight. They're not tense. They're not negative. They don't worry and get all anxious and fearful about things. They deal with their day-to-day problems, and they don't feel guilty, and they let others live and let live. Helen Keller, the lady that was born blind and deaf and dumb, once wrote, "They took away what should have been my eyes, but I remember Milton's Paradise. They took away what should have been my ears. Beethoven came and wiped away my tears. They took away what should have been my tongue, but I had talked with God when I was young, and he would not let them take away my soul. And possessing that, I still possess the whole." Successful living is centered on the soul and finding and living with God as our friend. In our scripture this morning, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him or her will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it." Some time ago, at a meeting I attended, the keynote speaker was Dr. James Lauder from Princeton Theological Seminary. And he was talking about the power of God in the life of individuals. He was talking about the inner relationship of a person with God and how God's power flows through that person to strengthen and to meet their needs. And much like the illustration of Jesus being the vine and we being the branches, and the flow of power from God through us to others. And then he said, "I've got to tell you what this really means to me." He admitted that he had been an achievement-oriented man, absorbed in his position and his work. He was successful in his own world. He had published 2 books and lectured throughout Europe and all over the United States. His wife and family came second in his life. And after a lecture engagement to Europe, he came home, and to clear his conscience, he took his family on a vacation to northern New York State in their camper. And while he was driving up the freeway, they saw a lady next to a car parked on the side of the road. And she was waving at them with white gloves. He drove right by, not thinking much about it. But his daughter started pleading that he go back and help that lady. He turned the camper around and he parked in front of her car. Her left rear tire was flat. Being an achievement-oriented man, he says, "I'll fix it." And he placed a jack under the car and raised the bumper way up high in the air so he could get at it. And just about that time, a man fell asleep in his car and rammed into the back end of the lady's car, pinning him under the car. His little wife, just 5 feet tall and weighing 110 pounds, saw that what happened, and she came out and she grabbed the lady's car and lifted it as hard as she could, and she prayed, "Help me, God." The car came off the ground and Dr. Lauder crawled out. He says that at that moment, a peace came over him. He felt no pain. He knew everything was going to be all right. An ambulance came and took him and his family to the hospital, and he felt joy all the way into the operating room. And then he got into the operating room and he suggested that he sing "Fairest Lord Jesus." The nurse said, "Oh, no, don't do that. You can't do that. Your doctor is Jewish." The doctor drained the blood out of his lungs, and he was told that he had a broken ribs, internal injuries, cracked back, and severed a thumb. Throughout the entire ordeal, Dr. Lauder says that he had peace and joy and felt love because God was with him. His wife had one cracked rib, and she said when she lifted that car and prayed, it felt like some other force had taken over and lifted that car off the ground. People have asked Dr. Lauder how he could have this power of God in his life. After turning his life over to God, Dr. Lauder says he does our things. He does four things. First, he believes in himself, that he is himself, and that he lives his life for himself and not for anyone else. The organist in my chapel lived her entire life trying to please her mother. But Dr. Lauder believes in himself as a person. And second, he makes his own choices in life. He creates his world. He lives within and with God's help. And as he seeks God's help, he comes to realize he can do many things he didn't realize that he could do. When the disciples made the choice to follow Jesus, they were ordinary men. Most of them were successful fishermen. And Jesus opened their lives to the possibilities that they never dreamed of. Think about Peter the fisherman. Ordinary fisherman now. And later, what happened to Peter? He preaches to thousands of people. He never dreamed he could do that. Jesus made it possible that he could do things way beyond what he thought he could do. So Dr. Lauder accomplished much more than he thought he could do, too. And third, Dr. Lauder says he filled the void of loneliness and being alone in the world with God's love and purpose. He reached out to the and helped others who were hurting. And as he helped others, he wasn't lonely anymore. And then the fourth thing he said is, and perhaps the most important thing, he reached out and touched the presence of God with a positive faith in God. He took time for a quiet time every day when he read his Bible and prayed. And he asked God to speak to him. He does this with love. Have you ever prayed, Heavenly Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. We know God loves us. Why not tell him that we love him? One of the secrets of life is to really love God and really love other people. Frank Lubbock, a great Christian, writes in one of his books that when he sees a person who looks worried and tense, and he does this usually when he's riding on a train or a bus or something of that nature, and he sees somebody that's worried and tense, he touches that person with love as he prays silently for that person with his eyes wide open, and he asks God to come into their lives and help them with whatever their problem is. And as he prays for that person, he says, and asks God to come into his life, God gives that person peace and love, and the person's expression changes, and the lines of worry leave that person. Try it in your own life. Reach out in silent prayer for that person you see who looks troubled. See God work in their lives. Dr. Lauder knows God, his loving Heavenly Father, as a friend that will never let him down. Dr. Lauder says, because of that experience in the hospital, he realized that real success in life is not found in achievements. It is realizing that God loves you for just you, just as you are. You don't have to earn his love. or his praise. He loves you for being you, and God will take care of you no matter what happens to you and in your life. And how can we achieve successful lives? Find God, your loving Heavenly Father, as your friend, and turn your life over to him and follow him, and make time every day to come into his presence. Read one page a day in the Bible, or if you can make time for it, read 3 pages a day, one in the Psalms, one in the Proverbs, and one in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and throughout the rest of the New Testament. God will speak to you through his word, and then share your life with him in prayer. Share your joys and your sorrows, and ask God's help, and then remain quiet and listen for him to speak to you through your thoughts. And on Sundays, worship with others who are seeking God as their friend. No matter what your situation in life, you can experience successful living with God as your friend. And during a time of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives this morning. Just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins and mistakes of the past, and help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning in a very real way and help us to feel your presence and your power. Forgive all of our sins and mistakes of the past, and help us to experience the joy of knowing you as our friend. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.